I want to begin by reading 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 through 34. First Corinthians 11, beginning at verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. I want to think with you tonight about the idea of being worthy to partake of the Lord's Supper. Are you worthy to partake? You should not partake of these elements tonight unless you are worthy to do so. I'm speaking to those who have identified with Christ in baptism and are joined together with the church, like the church at Corinth, Community Baptist Church. So I'm assuming a number of things about you and asking this question. The question is, are you worthy? Not are you a member of the church, but are you worthy to partake of the elements together tonight? This question has more to do with who you are rather than the manner in which you partake. Of course, there is an examination that should take place to which Paul referred. We read it in verses 27 through 30, there's some pretty severe consequences for partaking of the Lord's Supper unworthily, or as the New King James translates it, in an unworthy manner. Unworthily is an adverb describing how, the manner in which you partake. Are you harboring sin in your life? You shouldn't partake. Are you harboring sin in your life? You shouldn't partake. Are you at odds with a brother or sister in Christ? You shouldn't partake. Are you properly respecting what the elements represent? If you are not, and that's a serious matter here, you're not discerning the Lord's body. You're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. It's a serious matter. If you're not properly respecting the elements and what they represent, of course, you shouldn't partake. But it has more to do with the worthily the manner in which you partake, assuming you have examined yourself so that you might partake worthily or in a worthy manner, then the question here is, what is it about you that makes you worthy to partake? What is it about you that makes you worthy to partake? In one sense, I'm not even sure that that is a good question to ask. What is it about you that makes you worthy? There is a sense in which it is your very unworthiness that makes you worthy to partake. So apart from your union with Jesus Christ, who are you? Apart from your union with Jesus Christ, who are you? Does the sense of unworthiness in yourself make you feel unworthy to partake? And if so, the question that I would follow with is this: what will it take? What will it take for you to feel worthy to partake? Do you need to feel better about yourself before you partake? Does your confidence before God rest in yourself? If your partaking depends upon your achievement to a certain standard of righteousness with which you are satisfied, or with which you feel that God is satisfied, my question to you would be, do you even really need Jesus? You see, it's the sense that you are a sinner apart from Him, apart from Jesus, that presses you to Him. This is what makes you, at least to begin with, it's what makes you worthy to partake. You see the point? You see, self-righteous sinners don't sense any need to remember the body and blood of Jesus. Why would a self-righteous sinner even want to remember the death of Christ? What is it that presses them to Jesus Christ? But it is who we know ourselves to be, sinners apart from Jesus Christ, apart from Jesus Christ, sinners. It is that, as well as the feeling the burden of remaining sin, the struggles, the fight. That is what really draws us, it attracts us to remember the death and resurrection of our Savior. And so when I say, are you worthy? The first question I would ask you is, do you see yourself to be that sinner apart from Jesus Christ so that you do need Him? You need Him. The second question is, do you truly believe that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all your sin? Do you believe that's the only thing? And the only one who can cleanse you from all your sin? Do you really believe that? Are you convinced of that? Truly believe that? Listen to this very helpful quote I'm quoting Octavius Winslow. I'm going to try to read it slowly, deliberately, because I want you to follow it. It's a number of lines here. He says, but the deepest renunciation of self is in the believing reception as a sinner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about renouncing ourselves. What he's saying is the deepest renunciation of self is in the believing reception as a sinner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until the contrite and believing heart has received Christ, until the soul has subjected itself to the power of His gospel until the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed the mind from the enslaving law of self-justification. Self may be mortified, but not humbled. Self may be wounded, but not slain. All human merit must be disclaimed. All creature worthiness must be renounced. And the one plea with which we may approach the Savior is that of a sinner, bankrupt and beggared of all personal righteousness, worthiness, and claim, looking only to Jesus and resting simply and solely in His blood and righteousness for pardon and acceptance. Does that describe your faith tonight? Do you struggle there? Then you are worthy. I'm saying, even if you struggle there, but you believe this and you know this is the faith, this is what you need. You need to come to Christ as that sinner, in Christ alone. If that's the faith that you have, struggle though you may, you are worthy. You are worthy. If you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your righteousness before God, you see, your worthiness is not found in you, but in Him whom you remember tonight. Because you believe that His sacrifice is the basis of the remission of your sins forever, then you're pushed to remember Him. You want to remember Him. And this is helping you to remember Him. I want to read from Hebrews 10. This is really one of my favorite portions of Scripture to read as I am preparing my own mind to remember the Lord and partaking of the elements. Hebrews 10, 1 through 4. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers once purified would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. So while there was an atonement, while there was a covering, it didn't remove those sins and the guilt of that sin. Year after year, there was simply the reminder of those sins and the guilt that was attached to those sins. And that is not what we're doing here tonight. Skip down to verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, this is the one we're remembering tonight. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Oh, may the Word of God be written upon your heart as we read it. From that time, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's you, brother and sister in Christ. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after He had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, I like that. Then he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds, their iniquities, I will remember no more." It's over. Now there is no remission of these. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. What we're doing, this is not an offering for sin tonight. We're remembering that offering for sin. We're remembering that man. Remembering what was finished, what was completed on our behalf. And if you believe, if your confidence is in Him, if you're trusting in Him, you're worthy. And then I would suggest this. You're worthy, and I've already said this, but I want to emphasize it. You are worthy tonight if you really see your need of Jesus. Do you need Him? Do you need Him tonight? Now, He is not in these elements, but these elements point to Him. And as we are partaking of these elements together, that's exactly what we are doing. We are engaging with Jesus together. And we're doing so. We're sinners. We recognize that apart from Him, we're sinners. We recognize that only He is the Savior of sinners. But we're doing it tonight because we sense our need for Him. Therefore, we are pressing to Him in a fresh way. Him who is our Savior. We do that tonight. And increasingly, I don't know about you, but increasingly, I see my own heart's need of Jesus Christ. I am struck more and more deeply. The older I get, you might think, after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for decades, that I wouldn't feel so desperate for Him, maybe. I wouldn't sense a desperation of my need for Him, but that is quite the opposite. And I don't feel this increased need because I'm pursuing sin. The fact is, I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. And when sin is made known in my life, I repent of it. I turn from it. I don't want it. I don't want to offend Him who loves me so. I don't want to. But nevertheless, there is this increasing sense to know Him. And I know that He alone can present me faultless before God. He alone can do that. Without Him, I will perish forever. I will. So will you. So as I partake of these elements tonight, I remember Him whom I desperately need. As I sit there with this bread and this cup, that's one of the things that's resonating in my soul. He has given Himself for me, and He ever lives to make intercession for me. And as I am remembering Him, this is what I am remembering. I'm not just looking back at the cross. I'm looking to Him who is risen and who is interceding on the basis of His cross work. And brethren, this is what makes me worthy to partake tonight. It's because of the sense of my desperate need for Him. So I want to ask you, are you in fellowship with me tonight? With this? Are you in fellowship with one another here? Is this what we're coming together on the basis of this? Your sense of your need of Jesus. Not on the basis of your worthiness in yourself, but more so the basis of your unworthiness. We are in Him together, and this is the way that He has ordained that we express our unity of fellowship in Him. It's together, not isolated from one another. And so if this is true for you, you are worthy to partake tonight, expressing together our mutual dependence upon the only Savior of sinners. And so as I take this bread and I take this cup and I eat this bread and drink this cup, and you are doing the same, we are doing it together, expressing our unworthiness because we are sinners and our need of Jesus. Apart from Him, we're condemned. But in Him, because of Him, you see, we are partaking together tonight, having as much need of Him tonight as when we first believed. Think about that as you partake tonight. You need Him tonight, as much tonight. I wouldn't say more. I would just say as much tonight as when you first believed. And so may our hearts be stirred with thanksgiving as we receive these elements tonight. Receive the elements with thanksgiving. I am not worthy in myself. I need You. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. He rose in victory over sin and death. We are no longer enemies of God. We're no longer separated from God. We have received the reconciliation. Because of Him, we have peace with God. This is who we are in Christ tonight. And so, brethren, let us draw near to Him as we eat the bread and drink the cup. Let's draw near to Him together tonight. And may His Spirit expand our inward capacity to receive more and more of the fullness of the love of Christ, manifested most fully in His substitutionary death for us. I hope you see that tonight. If you question whether or not God loves you, the Father loves you, Christ loves you, oh, may the Spirit quicken you, awaken your sleepy, lethargic soul with those eyes of faith to see Him afresh tonight. And may His love in a fresh way resonate in your soul as you see Him by faith tonight.